The second point I have there is that we are co-laborers with God. One of the privileges of sonship is that we have become partners with God. What a great privilege. You could have imagined what it would look like if one of the richest persons on earth call you to be partners with him. How much more God? Our sufficiency in this thing is not of ourselves. It's all about the love of God and his calling upon our lives. He's in heaven, we're on earth, fulfilling his mission here. The Bible says that we are his workmanship, we are his craftsmanship, we are his tools in this place, fulfilling his will on earth. Humanly speaking, we can say that employing us as partners could be seen as a very inefficient way for God to accomplish his work of salvation. Don't forget, I said humanly speaking. After all, God could have used angels to convince everyone of the truth about Jesus. How impressive would that have been? Or he could have chosen some night to rearrange the stars in the heaven so that they spell out Jesus is Lord from horizon to horizon. Someone says she's trying to express a cartoon to us. Okay, it could be. But he hasn't done any of that. He chose us instead to use us in our frailties, in our inconsistencies, in our haltings, in our awkward natures. He chose us rather to tell the truth in order to bring salvation to the world. Why did he have to choose us? Why did he have to make us partners with him? Folks, in doing this, God gives our lives incredible significance. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Even though many believers' lives are hinged on commitment to dead-end pursuits, Jesus has qualified us to be co-laborers of his great purpose. We are to find our significance in being partners with him in this ever-fruitful work of building his kingdom. My third point this morning is that the harvest is ripe. Why should we give ourselves over to soul winning and making disciples? It's because the harvest is ripe. We don't need to wait any further. We don't need to wait for the right season. We don't need to look at if the seed is growing well or it's not growing well. We don't need to look at it if we have all the equipment we need. We don't need to look at it if we have all the money in our pockets. We don't need to look at it if all situations and circumstances are perfect enough. The harvest is ripe. John 4:34 says that, "Say not ye, there are 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." This harvest is about bringing people from unbelief to faith. It's about liberating people from sin and destruction to eternal life. Can you imagine a tree with ripe fruits? Very ripe fruit, and there's nobody to harvest them. What do you think will happen to them? They will begin to rot and eventually die off, and possibly even give out a pungent smell. Folks, the need in this world is great. There is a harvest of lost and needy souls out there, ready to receive salvation, waiting for someone to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. After Jesus has preached to the multitude in a particular place, he said Jesus looked at them and had compassion on them. Why? Because he said that they were like a sheep without shepherd. So also it is today. There are many lives out there
under the dictates of the devil, looking for salvation, looking for deliverance from the turmoil of the enemy. Just like the ripe fruit on a tree, the spiritual harvest of souls are waiting to be picked. And we are all important part of making this happen. This harvest is our world. Wherever you are is where the harvest is. There's a lot waiting to be harvested. Our talents, our gifts were specifically given so that we can reap the harvest of souls. Can we begin to do something today about our world? Some people have said to me that some other people have started doing the things they would have wanted to do. Please, can you just go ahead and do that thing that God has placed in your heart? You are unique in your own world. You have people who are waiting to hear from you and you alone. You are peculiar. There's no other person like you. There's no other person that can do it the way you do it. Can you just go ahead and begin that thing that God has placed in your heart? We are all important part of this body. And as we have learned earlier from the other sessions, you have a function that only you can complete. And that is why you cannot afford to fold your hands. The harvest is ripe, people. There's a lot we can do in your small way, from the corner of your house, from the corner of your room. There's a lot we can do because the harvest is ripe and they are waiting to be picked by you. The fourth point I have this morning is that making disciples and winning souls is a commandment. A commandment. I try to look for other words in the Bible and also in the dictionary to explain the word commandment. And I found these words. A commandment could mean a divine instruction, an official order, a commission to do something after being empowered, a principle not to be broken, a mandate, a charge. We have been commanded to make disciples of all nations. Like I read earlier on, 1 Timothy 2:4, the will of God is that he will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of his will. When he called Peter, he commissioned him. He told him, henceforth you will be fishers of men. After his resurrection, he still got back to him. John 21:17. He asked him, lovest thou me than all of this? And he said, feed my sheep. We can put our names in this. Henceforth, he says, you will catch men. Abram, henceforth you will catch men. You will feed the sheep as his pasture. It's a commandment for everyone who is a believer that we should catch men, that we should be fishers of men, that we will feed the sheep of his pasture. Making disciples is not what should be done from our comfort zones or out of convenience. It's a command that should be obeyed. I like what Paul said in Philippians 1:21. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The same line of thought in 1 Corinthians 9:16. He says, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. And if against my will, necessity is placed. Commandment is a necessity. Commandment is not a choice. Commandment is not when it is convenient. Commandment is not something you do once in a year, once in a month. Commandment is for us a lifestyle. We have been commanded to make disciples of all nations. And we need to live our lives every day, fulfilling the will of our Father in obeying His commandment. I know, because He's with us, this commandment is not grievous. We will obey it till we take our last breath.